Welcome to episode 178 of Both Down, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
That is going back to Oklahoma.
Yay!
Oklahoma. Home of the Oklahoma Thunder.
No, we are the official podcast of the NBA world champion Oklahoma City Thunder.
We have had on here a employee of them
at one point. Are we talking about my friend Gary Brown?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he did a lot of the scorekeeping for them back when they first got here and retired from that, I think, 4 years ago, I think.
He missed out.
He's okay with that. He's got to spend a lot more time with his family.
Oh, yeah.
Being at every home game, rain, sleet, or shine is...
Sucks.
Yeah, and I mean, the pay was okay. I mean, like...
Yeah, it's not like even a real salary. It was just, thank you for doing this kind of pay.
Right. He did enjoy it, but it got tiresome after a while. So, you know, if there's a game on Christmas, guess where he is.
Yep.
Yeah, if it's snowing, but there's still a game, guess where he is. So,
oh.
But yes, I cannot believe... So I want to talk about this, even though it's not Blood Bowl related.
So let's go back. Who the hell are we?
Oh, I am Scott Prime with all the excitement because the Oklahoma City Thunder won the NBA championship.
Yep.
And he is Steve Kilowoggy Campbell, who I guess is a Denver Nuggets fan now because he lives in Colorado.
I've been to a Nuggets game, and I have not been to a Thunder game. So that tells you everything you need to know.
So I'm 51 years old. And if you're my age, you probably remember video games where you just fantasized about, like, let's play Nintendo baseball. And it was just generic team versus generic team. And like, if it was me and you playing, we would say like, oh, I'm the Cubs. And you would say, I'm the so-and-so.
Yeah.
And eventually video games got to a point, especially computer video games. There was some games where you could actually edit the team name.
Mm-hmm.
So like we would always, whether it was in football or something, it would either be a Tulsa team for Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma City. Because growing up, I mean, your parents, I know I played sports. I had this conversation with my parents way more than maybe I should have. The old fantasy of like, hey, Dad, do you think we're ever going to get an NFL team? And, you know, my father was like, we're too small market. We'll never have a professional team.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then we got like, we had the Oklahoma 89ers, which was the AAA team for the Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we eventually got the Oklahoma City Blazers, which was really double-A hockey. That was pretty popular for a good 10 years or so. And they won championships as well because I was at a championship game. But really, it was more about the fights breaking out than the hockey, if we're going to be honest. But we enjoyed those things. And then, of course, the Hurricane Katrina thing happened, which brought the Hornets to town, which brought – the NBA actually got to see, like, oh, maybe these guys could pull this off. Clay Bennett bought the Seattle Supersonics, eventually moved them to Oklahoma City. And here we are, I think it's 16, 17 years later, NBA world champions. So it is crazy to me because, again, me and at least my buddies, Robert and Gary, we fantasized about this forever.
Yeah.
If a Nintendo game or like a Super Nintendo or a computer game, I think it was called TV Sports Basketball, was the computer game we played. If it had an ability to edit the team name, we did. And then what we would do is if it had even the ability to like rename a player, of course we'd put ourselves on there and all have a team, you know, like, oh, I'm on the Tulsa team, I'm on the Oklahoma City team, and just have a blast playing a league out and stuff. And so bad that like at one point one of us had a football team named the Oklahoma City Comets, and now our AAA team that's now affiliated with the LA Dodgers renamed themselves last year the Oklahoma City Comets.
Which is so horrible.
I love it, but only love it because as kids we had that name for a football team. So
it's so bad. I don't get it. Like 1,000 better names out there. They took that one.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I truly wish the Oklahoma City AAA team was called the 89ers like we used to have.
Yeah.
Then they were the Red Hawks for a while. Then they changed to the Dodgers. And here we are with the Comets. So, but still, I was excited when they changed to the Comets. I was like, we dreamed of this. And I was very emotional when we won the championship. Just really excited. I'm happy for the city. I don't know if you watched the parade. It was pretty amazing. The players coming out of the bus and just walking the streets and letting the fans touch the trophy. It was very surreal. And I have never experienced this from the standpoint of, like, I was an emotional mess because I really thought the Pacers were going to win it all.
Oh yeah,
I really did. They were really hot at the right time when it became the final eight teams in the NBA. That was the one team I didn't want us to play if we made it to the finals, because I was like, they're hitting that stride right at the right time. So this is how I know I don't play. I'm not on the roster. It doesn't matter what I do, but I've been to one game this year in person. I've watched one game on TV from the very beginning, first second to last second. I listened to one on the radio from the first second to the last second. We lost all three of those games. So after game one, watching game one with Jennifer, I said, I'm done. I'm just checking scores occasionally, like I've done in the past. They seem to play better when I don't watch. And if you go back to, like, last, I don't know, 4 to 7 years, I've seen probably like 8 games. And I know for a fact we've lost every game going back to what Russell Westbrook, because I took Jennifer on Russell's second to last year here. So it's been a while since I've seen them actually win a game in person.
We watched a Pelicans game, and I don't remember who they played. I don't remember who won. But we did have someone completely break their wrist on a jam. That was
pre-Jennifer, but yes, we saw that guy go up and he fell down and he grabbed his wrist and pulled himself off the floor and he was done.
Oh, you heard it too, because it was just like this perfectly clear snap and the whole crowd going, ooh.
So what I'm saying is, all you other cities who go through this, like, I don't know how to say it, this happiness when you win, or like the sadness and feeling down when you get that far and lose. Now, we've lost in the NBA finals before.
Yeah.
So I felt that, but we got beat 4-1. So 4-1. So it just didn't feel the same. This one was killing me. So I did my job. Game 7. I just did things around the house. And about 8:30 or so, I went to the park and I walked for like 45, 50 minutes. Brian from the Wizards Asylum, I told him when left for the game, I was like, I said, if it's ever in hand, whether it's like a minute left or 10 seconds left, I said, text me. Well, I forgot the game started at 7 officially on Sunday instead of 7:30. So I got me some ice cream. I came home after my walk. And right as I'm pulling into the garage, he goes, go turn it on. And I went in there and, dude, I had tears streaming down my face. So I now get it for you people who have really big professional teams from, you know, bigger cities with professional markets and multiple teams. I get it.
I thought the most interesting photo was the one of them in front of the memorial, because during the victory parade, they went through downtown OKC, and there was a photo of the bus right in front of the Murrow bombing memorial. And it's really what you were saying, you know, about being the big market. Oklahoma City, before they came, what were they known for? Blown up. That was it.
They talked about that on sports radio today. They said whether people like it or not, the two biggest things that's happened to the city is, one, the bombing, and two, the Thunder winning the NBA championship.
And if you remember how downtown was during the time of the bombing, like, not at the event, but just at that time period, it was nothing to write home about. It was destitute. It was boarded up. There wasn't a whole lot going on besides like 3 semi-big buildings. And then they did this is local niche, but they did the MAPS project, basically a dollar or a penny sales tax, put it towards infrastructure. And it's just made that whole area blossom. Got us a pro team, and now possibly the largest skyscraper in America, which got greenlit.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
So weird.
What's also weird about that picture, they captured the players like almost like spreading their arms and stuff, almost like they're posing for it.
Mm-hmm.
The bus they're on, number 30. How many years ago was the bombing? 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
There's some like weird things there, man. Anyways, it was really cool. Our fans, the parade, I don't know if you watched it, but they
saw a little bit of it.
There was no crazy stuff happening. There was genuine, like, I told somebody at work, I was like, I don't like to hero worship these people. I said, but these guys are like really handling this and saying the right things. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, when they were like interviewing him, he asked his whole team to stand with him up there on the stage before the parade.
Mm-hmm.
I thought because he was like, we're a team. It's not about, you know, me type deal. And I was like, why does this guy seem so nice? I hope he's not a turd, is what I said. And one of the ladies at work goes, he's Canadian. They're all nice. He's not American. That's why he's so genuine. And I laughed about it. And I was like, I can't even argue with you.
Well, remember that one time, to bring it somewhat back to Blood Bowl, when we went to White Castle at Chaos Cup and we picked up the guy to take him back to the hotel. And we're like, oh, that guy's really nice. He's like, oh, yeah, he's Canadian. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's been said before. So anyways, I'm very happy. I promised myself that I'd buy a jersey if we ever won at all. So here in a couple weeks, I'm going to buy me a authentic, as close as I can get to a real jersey possible, even if it costs me $200 to $300. Get my name on it, get my old numbers.
You can get a couple of knockoffs for a lot cheaper.
I know. I'm not doing that. I could also get other people's names on it and be a lot cheaper, but I don't
get that.
In case somebody gets weird, I want my own name on it with my own number.
Your real last name or Prime?
Probably go with my real last name, like with the Patriots jerseys. So.
That's fair, yeah.
I think Jennifer's going to get one too. She was really excited. She's already bought like 2 championship shirts and everything. Jeez. So she's gone even crazy too. So
I told myself after the Cubs won the series that there was a couple of things I was going to do. I didn't really have the money to do any of it, but I wanted to buy a jersey, but that was when they redid the jerseys with that, instead of the whole pattern going to the end, it was just the white. I was like, I'm not doing that. Those look horrible. I would never wear that.
No, I don't blame you. I mean, those aren't so great. I agree. I remember those, and I don't think they're so great either.
So speaking of jerseys, you're going to wear your both down jersey at Oklahoma Bowl?
I might if I can fit it.
Oh.
I mean, I'm kind of chubby.
So everyone,
I plan on it. Okay. So, I mean, I hope to.
Yep. This episode is just going to be a quick one shot just to get something in before Oklahoma, because we forgot that we needed to do one because of all the other stuff was going on. And my sister is currently in the hospital. She should be fine, but that has thrown a little bit of a kink in everything I was doing, which realistically was putting stuff off because of Oklahoma Bowl. So, whatever.
That's okay. Yeah, we're here to chat with you for about an hour. I got the timer going in case because it's way later than what we wanted to start. It was my fault because cooking dinner with my kid and going to the park to walk and get stuff gathered up and checking rosters for Oklahoma Bowl. So yes, this is probably not going to be your typical episode. And
so let's start
might
there.
Just be some tangents,
and just bitch, you know, straight off. We're going to bitch. Get your rosters in beforehand, please. And register beforehand, please. Everybody for
the
every event, not just your own.
The good news is I bugged everybody enough today that currently we are sitting at everybody has turned in a roster.
Everybody except one person.
Right. We're there and we got, it looks like we're going to have 10 or so people for sevens. And I think we're sitting at 24, 25.
Do we really have to talk
about them? No, that's not bad numbers.
It's bad numbers.
It looks bad considering traditional Oklahoma Bowl numbers, but I want to really state the good news here. Not good news for us that there's only 24. 24, 25.
Yeah.
The good news is there's so many tournaments.
Yeah.
I mean, there just really is. There's so many tournaments everywhere. If you take from now, and I think it's till September, I could be wrong on this, there is a Blood Bowl tournament in the Scars division every 2 weeks.
And really, that's just Texas.
And yes, I mean, we're the only, really it should be called the Texas region, because I think we're the only outlier anymore. But for real, there's tournaments every 2 weeks. And if, let's say I'm on my budget and I live in Houston, do I spend $400 to come up to Oklahoma Bowl weekend, or do I just wait 2 weeks and play where I'm at? I can't fault anybody who's like a single dad down there who wants to play really bad but can't afford to travel. So the good news is there's tournaments everywhere. The good news is we can take some of the credit, because we did start stuff back in an era,
of course,
when there wasn't any tournaments being ran. And we took that upon us, and it's okay. Yeah. Now, did we overspend because we thought we'd get close to 50? Yes. But we're going to learn some things. We tried some things different this year with a two-day tournament.
3 days, really. If, tournaments, yeah.
Tournaments. I mean, two-day, we had
Oklahoma,
one.
Yeah.
So here's what I will say about this, because I've heard a lot of people saying, oh, I'm not coming because of this, or I'm not coming because of that. Every tournament, what do we say at the end? Please give us your feedback, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't hear nothing, you feel like you can flex and change some stuff. I've heard some people go, oh, I like it because traditionally I can play two teams and knock them off my trying to play all the teams list. And then another person's like, I love Spiky Cup because I can be a douchebag and foul and have weapons on my team without being a douchebag because the rules call for it. So feedback is a wonderful thing. And to be truthful, we've wanted to do, you know, back when we started running tournaments, the big events ran a two-day event.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't have enough people. One. We thought this would be a good year to do it since it's at a hotel. And if we're – here's one thing's for sure. We're still going to have a blast.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
We're going to get to hang out with everybody, maybe even more so than if there was 50 people there, because now there's less people.
That was really my main disappointment. I mean, obviously, I don't like cutting back on stuff that we're giving away or, you know, losing money or anything, but I was really hoping for more of a Chaos Cup feel from back in the day, where everyone just hung out at the hotel and just, you know, played games, got food, and made a weekend of it. And again, it's going to be that way. And
I think it's still going to be that way, because I know I've talked to Corey Avon, who's coming up, and he's been talking to me about Kill Team, and he wants to play that. And I haven't played a game in a couple months, but I think me and Ben Burns are going to walk him through a game to kind of introduce it to. So I got to carry all my Kill Team stuff down there for a Saturday night. And I still want to play like a board game or something with some of the guys, or you and Jennifer and stuff, but we'll have board games there as well for like you and Jennifer to play with other people until I'm done with my Kill Team thing. But I think it's still going to be a blast. I think it's just going to be a blast for under 30 people versus under, you know, 60 people. And we'll roll with it.
And we will go back to the regular next year for sure.
Now, I will say, if you're coming and you're listening, you know, we're giving out some tickets for the raffles. But there is, I think, 10 teams that we're giving away.
So many teams.
Not including the painted team.
Oh, did you get the, forgot about the dice. Or did you mention the dice?
What's that?
The Baron of Dice.
Like, yeah, I'll talk to you after this about what we're going to do with those. Because, yeah, we got those to decide what we're doing with those. But, yeah, we got quite a bit of stuff. So if you're needing a team, bring some of that extra cash for extra raffle tickets if you want. You can do the Michael Lewis, which is like you buy 100 tickets and then you win everything.
I'm not against it.
No, I know. There is some familiar faces that I haven't. They're not here this year. It's going to be weird not seeing some of the
guys who traditionally. No Michael Lewis.
Right. I mean, yeah. It happens.
Absolutely.
A lot of new faces, though. So that is cool. That is going to be really positive. And
a couple guys from Louisville, a guy from Milwaukee, I think, somewhere in Wisconsin. Cool.
And believe it or not, we're already planning for next year. We'll have more on that on the next episode, the date.
Going back to March.
And, Steve's just going to talk about it right now.
I didn't say when, but in March.
We just got to confirm a few things, and then we can start even planning for that. So, anyways, print out your rosters. We're not going to have a printer there.
That is one nice thing. I'm not taking any computers. Don't have to mess with any of the input. It's just all going to be BBTM, Blood Bowl Tournament Manager. It worked well at every tournament I've ran lately, including Atlantic City Open, which we can talk about here in a minute.
I am nervous that we don't have a computer. Like, I know you use this program. Yeah. I know it works because it worked at Chaos Cup. If it could work at Chaos Cup, it could work at Oklahoma Bowl.
Oh, for sure.
So I am nervous about it, but at the same time, it's also nice not to worry about lugging a computer around.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Especially when tell me about Atlantic City. Did you go gambling?
So first off, I want to talk about, because I don't believe I talked about this last time, went to...
Oh, yeah, and we're raw dogging this. We're just World not going to have segments. So
I told you I went to the Trinidad tournament and won with Snotlings. Then I ended up going 2 weeks later to World's Mountain Edge down in basically Colorado Springs. And I took Black Orcs. And first two rounds, I caused 6 casualties each. One was undead, and one was something else that wasn't supposed to take a whole lot of injuries. And then I went up against Mike Patterson and his human team, which shouldn't... I don't know why. I couldn't hurt him. I didn't get a single casualty against him.
Nobody can, Steve.
He
nobody
got can. The luck when he needed... It's not all luck. It's a dice game. But he was able to do a pass into tackle zones and then dodge out and all this. I believe I failed to go for it, and I failed... I just couldn't hurt anybody. And he got casualties on me. I did tie him, which with Black Orcs, and I was able to tie Mike Patterson with his humans. Ooh,
I bet that hurt his little rating, because I know he's worried about his...
I'm sure it did. But I will take that. I just didn't get the win, which I wanted the win. Because then I would have had 2 wins in 2 weeks again, like last time.
Gotcha.
Which did not happen. But again, Black Orcs, 2 wins and a tie. I did not expect that in the slightest.
Well, I wouldn't either, but there's a Black Orc roster coming to Oklahoma Bowl that I sure hope the hell I don't have to face it. And I'm being serious.
Yeah.
It is brutal.
So,
yeah, you tied a guy that's 3rd in the world with humans.
I know. And
I bet that killed his rating for real.
Because I'm such a bad coach. Thank you. I get it.
No, I'm just saying, like, in general.
No, I know. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's you. I'm trying to check here. I'm trying to see, like, what his... I mean, sometimes, like, if you haven't played them a lot, you know, the record might have gone down some is what I'm getting at.
Well, I think that's only my 3rd time playing Black Orcs. 2nd time.
Oh, I can't see, like, if his points dropped or not, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have anybody in the 200, so why would I even worry about that?
Yeah, same here. I just play to play. And then I just came back last week, or anyways, 2 weeks ago. I went to Atlantic City for the Boardwalk Brawl 7s and 11s. And that was a ton of fun. Flew into Philadelphia, got in really late, and then spent an hour in basically 90-degree heat trying to get the rental car. So that sucked. Finally checked into the hotel at like 1 a.m., but didn't have to get up early, so that was nice. It was at Harrah's in Atlantic City, so a big casino. Mm-hmm. Great venue, beautiful room. Huge shout-out to Frontline Gaming for putting me up and letting me run the event. Seven's event was a lot of fun, and I didn't get to play that one because we had even numbers of people. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we had a squad event, and we were initially set perfectly with 12 people because we could only do 12 because of squads of three, four squads, etc. Someone dropped, which sucks. But what that did allow is I was able to look at it and go, well, we could, because another squad wanted to play. I was like, well, we can get you in. That'll give us 15 people. Because it was just the wrong makeup. Because initially Mark Perry was supposed to co-chair it. And if he was co-chairing it, then if there was one extra person, both of us can play in a squad and we even it out. But we had just the wrong makeup. We was one person short. Anyways, long story short, we were able to get a total of 14 people in a squad event. And the one squad with two people is like, look, I don't have a way to make this good off for you. Do you care? And they're like, no, we came, they were playing for the Dirty Rats, which was all the stunty, essentially, teams. So they're like, we don't care at all. We just came to have fun. They ended up getting it, obviously. And the second place and the first place squad came down to opponent's strength of schedule. And my squad ended up winning. So I won the championship for the squad. I missed out on the championship for the individuals. Just going up against... man, I can't think right now. What did I play against? God dang it. What? This is why I normally write stuff out. Stupid sister being in the hospital doing a little crap. So I was playing the Corny Island Cartel with Korn. I did not expect to do well with Korn, put it that way. I think it was Amazon's. I don't know. I forget what team I played against the last round.
Try not to say something in case you edit this out so it doesn't look like you have a brain for it.
Oh, no. No, why edit? I'm just stupid.
Okay.
I know it was Steven. I just don't remember what team Steven was playing. And you know what? This is the whole point of having a Blood Bowl tournament manager, isn't it?
I mean, you did run it there, so you can go back and look at what you did.
Right. So let me do real quick. It also just started, I guess, raining or hailing. I'm not sure which. I'm assuming it's rain, but it sounds like hail. Yeah.
Wow. I thought you only get snow up there.
No. We get all kinds of weather. So, wasting time. Everybody hates me. Everybody wants me.
Oh, yeah. They're like, we don't even give a shit about his.
Round five, went up against Steven Holacek's Skaven. Yeah. That's right. I couldn't hurt them at all. So, that sucked. Yeah, he ended up beating me 3-1. It was one of these things where it was nothing I did. So I had most of his people knocked out, and he had four gutter runners, two with block, two with wrestle. Three of them were knocked out. One I'd casualtied, and he regened. Well, not regened, but apothecaried. Was able to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
So I was stalling, and I was able to have a nice little, not huge cage, but I was far enough away, it shouldn't matter. Well, I go and hit with a guy, and I get Skull with one of the big Bloodseekers, and I re-roll and get a Skull and a push. So I push the guy, and I push him away from another guy, because I could have pushed him next to him, but I wanted to make sure that if he went away, I was just trying to hurt people. But I was trying to make sure, like, I have block. What are the odds of me getting, double skulls again? So I was like, I push him away. Worst case scenario, I'm standing there. He's got to dodge away from me and dodge through the other protecting guy to get a one die on the ball carrier. And, of course, I got double skulls again. And then he goes and hits the ball carrier with just a nobody rat, pals him, pushes him to the sideline. And I am two squares away from the end zone. And I was debating on if I wanted to score or not because his gutter runners were in the KO. Because if I didn't score, you'd only get one chance to get him back. And then all I had to do was walk in. Not so much. So he dodged. He got the hit. He palled. The ball goes out of bounds. Goes towards his end zone. Nine squares. Right between two Skaven that hadn't done anything yet. And they pick up the ball and run. I'm like, damn it. And then I couldn't do anything. I scored pretty quick. Tried to go for the win. And then just everything goes bad. He gets a blitz and he scores again and is 3-1. There's nothing I could do. But still not bad for Korn. Again, I'm not the world's best Korn player. I think I've only played them one time before. If I look at this. Yeah, one time before. But yeah, I had 3 wins, 2 losses. The other loss was against Amazons. And again, I could not hurt them. So that was annoying. Amazons versus Korn is the worst matchup. Because
I bet.
I can't knock them down. And they just dodge away, so I can't hit them.
I mean, isn't that what Amazons do?
Yes, it is. But overall, great weekend. Had a ton of fun. Met a lot of new players. Everyone seemed to have a great time. A lot of great feedback from everybody. Got to talk with the Baron of Dice guys and chatted with him some. Talked about future events and everything. Went out with some of the guys because I had nothing else to do. Like, I was basically there by myself, and Tony had come out from Arizona, but he was hanging out with his friend. And we went to dinner, and we went to just like this, it's Atlantic City. There's a whole bunch of old restaurants. Let's go hit this one that's supposed to be really good. And we go, it looks like an old city, like a neighborhood restaurant. Really cool. Waitress comes up, basically says, you don't want this, you don't want that, they're crap, you want these. We're known for our pizza, we're known for our Atlantic City fried shrimp and blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, I'm pizza's probably a good bet, but I would like to try something different since I'm in Atlantic City. And so I got the fried shrimp. The overall taste of my dinner, and I did try some pizza, so I will rank my dinner, including the pizza, in the following order, from best to worst. Best, pizza. Then the ketchup. Then the fries that the ketchup went on. Then the onion rings. Then the soda. And then the fried shrimp, which had no flavor. I ate part of them. I didn't know which part was the tail. It was that bad. And that's one thing. The whole weekend, right? So I had that on Friday night or Saturday night, forget which. The Thursday morning, I just wanted to grab something quick. So they had a nice looking patisserie with all types of pastries and stuff. I was like, I don't, this is too much. I don't want to think this early in the morning. I'll just take a giant chocolate chip muffin because it was giant and everything's stupid expensive. I figured I'd eat half and then go do what I wanted, get set up, and then eat the other half. Got 2-3 bites in and threw it away because it was horrible. Got free food at the venue because I was running the events. So they were nice enough to do that. One day, I got their hot dog, which pretty sure hot dogs should not be gray, but it was. And again, the French fries were okay. For breakfast on Sunday, I was like, well, surely, no, on breakfast on Saturday, I got donuts from there. I got 2 donuts. They looked nice. 2 bites in, completely stale, worthless, didn't even bother. Sunday, they had French toast. I'm like, how do you screw up French toast sticks? They figured out how. I'm not really sure how they did it, but they did. So my last food voucher was basically just buying candy bars because they can't screw those up. And soda. That was horrible. I did go, since we finished early on Sunday, I went around to some of the other casinos. I went to Caesar's Palace. It was cool to see. Went to the Hard Rock, saw some of the cool memorabilia. I didn't have a whole lot of cash on me. I didn't really want to play a whole bunch of casino games because I didn't really have the money to spend. I did put in $10 and immediately won $75, so that was nice. So I got to play for about an hour, hour and a half, just off that. Went to the Boardwalk, and that place is disappointing. It might be better if it was sunny out, but it was 70 and overcast the whole time I was there, which I didn't mind. But that Boardwalk was not great. I walked probably a mile or so on Sunday of it. Mm-hmm. And pretty much every other bench had either someone completely, you know, drunk or stoned off their ass. One guy was holding like a napkin, some type of cloth napkin, like behind him and miming like he was going to poop in it. That type of situation. But he was also wobbling on, like he was on something. Like he was on something strong and it was not good.
Wow, but yeah, he was having a good time.
Every other store was just a kitschy, you know, buy this t-shirt that says hot, I love MILFs. Or,
did you buy that?
No.
You love MILFs though.
Everybody loves MILFs. I don't need to proclaim it.
But you could. You could be like, yes, this is my shirt. I love MILFs. You know how much attention you might get if you wore that out?
It was neat seeing some of the old buildings. So that was cool. I figured, like, I'm here, I've got time, I budgeted for expensive meals. So there was the Land Shark Bar and Grill right by the Steel Pier, which has all the arcade or the amusement park rides.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to go here because I can sit on the back patio, have a nice view, see the ocean, see the pier. And they had key lime pie on the menu. So I was like, I'm sold. Let's try it. And I know it's a tourist trap. I know it going in. And wouldn't you know it, it was the best meal I had by far. I had fish and chips, and they were awesome. And then it was probably the best key lime pie I've had in 20 years.
Well, dude, you love every key lime pie, and two, you love everything fried. You will eat okra.
Didn't we just talk about the fried shrimp being horrible?
I mean, that's true.
Okay, so... But no, so that was basically...
That ruins my fun, though.
That was basically it. Came back on Monday, stopped at a Wawa, because we don't have those around here. Everyone loves them.
What's a Wawa?
It's a gas station.
Okay, it's really called Wawa? Like Wawa. W-A-W-A?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's big. It's well known in the East. And it's supposed to have really good food, like Quick Trip or something, how everyone loves their food.
Yep.
And I got a sausage bagel with just pepper jack cheese on it. It was pricey, but it was really good, so I can't fault that.
You were like, I'm Wawa crazy.
Wawa. Then got on the plane, came home. That's pretty much it.
So did you meet any MILFs while you were there?
I did not, I don't think.
Is this like the first trip you've went without like having like lots of sex?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to hear.
Okay. But, I mean, that's why they have those hand towels, right?
In the bathroom? Sure. And escorts.
Remind me of a story off the air, and I will tell you. There is a story. It is not involving me. There is a story. It's not my story to share here. But I will share it with you privately. And if you come to Oklahoma Bowl, I will be happy to share the story. Anyways, great time. Frontline Gaming, great company. They really hooked us up. The pitches were amazing. I got... dice from Atlantic City, from a Dice Baron, because they did custom sets. If you want to pitch or if you want the custom dice, they should still be available either through Frontline Gaming or Atlantic or a Baron of Dice. And then I have some of the regular tournament dice. All this should be going up on Big, or I don't even know what it is anymore, BD Swag.
And something like
Big
that.
Deal Swag. Yeah. Which we'll also have all the Oklahoma Bowl stuff, which we will have lots of extra.
Yep. But there's some cool stuff.
Yeah, so hopefully next year we'll get a lot more people.
Yeah, and if we don't...
I meant Atlantic City.
Oh.
If it happens.
Yeah, I got you. If it happens, it's going to happen, dude.
I don't know.
You're going to meet that same person that you met and paid money for them to leave, not for sex.
That is why you pay.
You're like, okay, thank you for being romantic with me. I would like to watch Rick and Morty by myself right now.
I thought
here, take this $175 and leave.
I just pay them to lose a blood bowl so I can get better.
Oh, okay. That might be true.
That's what the rumors say.
Right, right. The rumors.
Do you even want to talk about the damn rumors? I'm so sick of them.
Oh, the rumors of Blood Bowl?
Yes.
People's reached out.
They have.
I know nobody's going to believe me. We don't know anything.
No, we don't know a damn thing.
If I knew something, I'd go, maybe, you know, something like that. But legit, we don't know anything.
No.
So you don't have to ask me, and then you don't have to be like, uh-huh. We don't know anything.
Our contact actually left GW. So I don't know who's going to take over or if anyone's going to take over or what's going on, because they haven't replied to my email yet.
Right. So we might be forever in the dark for all we know. I mean, for real. And if so, that was a good run. And
yeah.
So be it. But yeah, if the rumors are true, a bunch of stuff's changing, the field's going to get longer.
Let's just nip that one in the bud first. Like, there's no way that happens. And if we cut to a year from now and it happened, you can splice this into whatever. I don't care. What the? There's just no logical way that makes sense. They have a design currently that fits in a box currently, that fits in the box that they make for the box sets currently. Why would they change that? It does not help them any. They are not losing money to third-party people, no matter how much. Like, you really think they're losing out on millions of dollars because you can get Squigmire or Maelstrom or whoever to make a third party? No, that's not happening.
No,
and it takes them 10 seconds to just redo it with a bigger size, and you're still losing out and you're pissing people off. It would completely change the dynamic of the game, and it's just stupid.
If it does happen, because anything can happen, they will maybe, possibly, they might cut a lot of their audience out. And I'm just saying, like, especially somebody who's bought every field that's come out. Now, I know things can change and it just happens. And really, we should be used to that because that's what happens. It happens in Kill Team. It's happened in other games.
But it's, man, like,
it better not happen in Necromunda since we just started playing that.
Yeah, we can come back to that in a second, too, because we want to talk about that. But the whole, why would you screw with it? It changes speed of people. Unless you, like, implemented the old rush rule where people are going to rush for different amounts and then just adding on bullshit for adding on bullshit. It makes no sense.
It's possible. I don't know. We don't know. A lot of us do believe that at some point, and we've said this now for like the last 2 or 3 years, that there's surely they're going to put out a new box set either way.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what they would do. If they would just put out a new box set with a rule book that actually was looked over and you don't have to make a FAQ and a errata for it like a week after it comes out.
If it came with a QR code that says, scan this to access your free copy of the online
rule book. Living rule book, yeah.
And then you can subscribe to it for $25 for every update. Done. In a heartbeat.
Oh, I said they could put out a new rule book with no typos and all the verbiage is correct. And they could charge $100 for it and they would sell a bunch of them.
Of course. That's why I was telling the GW guy at LVO earlier this year, is there's just no way to get somebody into this game. If you want to get somebody into the game, how do you do it? You find a box set online, I guess, because nobody has them in person. Unless you're one of those rare stores that has, you know, 10 copies of stuff. But most all stores that I go to don't have them.
And that is a difficult thing. Even with the, I think we have 5 new people in our league this time. None of them have rule books.
No.
Because they can't find a box set.
And when we were playing the home league, why did we get into it? Because we could easily access and download the living rule book.
Correct.
Cost us nothing to get into. And you were like, hey, read this. If you like it, we can start it up. And I'm like, I don't do miniature games. He goes, I know, but, you know, just look at it.
You know, the Kill Team app is really good for that because as soon as, like, you know, a couple months go by and they make some changes, you go to the app and you go, oh, this is my team. Did they make any changes? You can re-upload whatever it is. And you go, oh, they changed this stat by 1, or they rewarded this to where it makes actual sense instead of game lore and, you know, something that's not meant to be lawyered one way or another for the rules. So it is really helpful. And if Blood Bowl had that, I think it would be really amazing. Now, granted, Kill Team makes more money than Blood Bowl. So I get it from that standpoint. But,
yeah. And so basically, rumors, we're tired of them. Just put out a new set. So we can stop it.
Yeah.
I'm not entertaining people's discussion of, well, what about this? What about that? What do you think if this happens? I don't give a shit. I just don't. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah.
We've been hearing it every time. And again, last thing I'll say about it, but, and I said this to Babs too, but I'm not calling them liars. I'm not putting any disparagement on them. What I'm saying is they put out a very detailed plan for the next year and a half or so for Blood Bowl, including very specific dates, very specific, you know, what's being done. I would guess there's probably only 3 people that are involved with GW who would have that information. Like, your playtest team might have some information, you know, your designers might have some information. They're not going to have a full detailed layout of launches and schedule. Like, why would they even have that themselves right now? They could have expectations, and then it's going to come out in September instead of November when the last box sets have always come out on Black Friday. It's a lot of very specific stuff, which makes me not believe it, because that's a very limited number of people who could know it, who would then be releasing it to someone.
What I don't understand, and I don't know how to say it, it used to be like this with like comics. If somebody got a comic like 2 days early, they'd go home and scan it and then they put it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand like the looking for attention boner, because I post stuff on Facebook. So clearly I want people to see something that I'm happy about, but it's just weird to me to previews of comics up, or if you had this information, why do you have to go to the run to the internet? And I don't understand.
Now, to be fair, we had the leak from the previous rule book when it came out, you know, month and a half, 2 months, well in advance of whenever it released.
Yes, I mean, yeah, but that
we didn't was go not around from showing it to people.
Yeah, that was not from GW. That was somebody sending us and saying, like, no, this really exists in case you don't know.
The scans of the whole thing from China, basically.
And me and Steve read it ahead of time, and we were excited, but we didn't repost it. We didn't go tell everybody. We kept it to ourselves.
We might have told a couple of people. But just a couple of people, and we didn't share it to the whole web, you know.
You might have. You're a blabbermouth.
This is true.
because you want the Blood Bowl boner too. You're like, look at me.
Well, we also do a podcast where we discuss stuff, so we need to have all eyes on it so we can get different perspectives to provide a thorough explanation when it comes. Whatever.
Sure. Anyways, I'm tired of the rumors too. So until I see an announcement, or until DW secretly emails us something with an NDA on it, and we can discuss it amongst ourselves, then I'm not so worried about it.
Exactly.
Speaking of GW.
Yes.
I wish you lived around here again, because I would talk you into playing Necromunda like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, for sure. We played.
So for a few minutes, I'm going to talk about Necromunda, because...
Oh, no. Looks like that. Looks like an hour's up. Sorry. We'll have to go.
According to my clock when I set the timer, there's 9 minutes and 46 seconds. Really quick. So I've been dabbling in some Kill Team. Enjoy it, but it's very rules heavy. Necromunda, there's a lot of crunchy old tables and injury tables. It reminds me a lot of second edition Blood Bowl, but instead of block dice, you roll just 1d6 for everything. Clearly a 1 is always something bad and 6 is always great. And a lot of times you're just shooting guys with the hope of like, you're really far out of range. You got a lot of cover, but might as well do this. Yeah. The difference between like Kill Team and so Kill Team, you can kind of pre-measure to see where you want to put your guy to make sure he's in cover and that he has a clear line of sight to this guy. Necromunda, Kill Team is like trained military, like my nephew. And Necromunda is like if me and you was on the More Lions gang and they gave us some weapons and I go, I'm gonna go shoot that guy, and I go out there and I don't know that it only has a range of like, you know, 20 yards instead of what I think is like 50 yards away. And then clearly I go out there and I declare a shoot action and I just upright miss because my weapon didn't have enough range. And I think that's a lot of the beauty with Necromunda. There's you can accidentally shoot your own guys if they're in the way. A lot of little finicky dice rolls, but I haven't read the rules, read all the fluff, haven't read the rules. So it's just people teaching me as we go. We started a campaign. I'm playing the Ironhead Prospector Squats, which is a bunch of dwarves who are on the planet Necromunda who go out into the ash wastes and mine for things and stuff like that. But occasionally they come back into the Spire cities to, get into some fights with some other local gangs. And so far I've been having a freaking blast. It's very random. I think it helps that I feel like I'm going to lose every game no matter what. So like my competitive brain is there, but I can't tell you a game that I've laughed so much when rolling silly ones or falling off a building because I can't roll my initiative and stuff. I mean, we're just having, it could be the group that we're playing with too. It's a small group. We're all kind of feeling the same way. We're not trying to min max. We're just trying to like play the best we can. We're having a blast. So I just want to say, if you're looking for a campaign style game, similar to like a Blood Bowl league, that's what Necromunda is. And I get like, if you survive, you get a point. If you,
you can also play Mordheim, because we played that before. Very similar.
Yeah. It's
just more in the fantasy element than the sci-fi.
Correct. Necromunda is still being made by GW. So that's like a positive why Mordheim is not.
Oh,
but okay. If you have played Mordheim in the past, Mordheim is fantasy. Necromunda is like the 40K type world. So yeah,
we played Mordheim with Sarge back in the day.
And it was awesome.
It was awesome. My first adventure, I'm playing the circus, and this was back when we were on Delphi forums. And I'd written up this huge thing about the circus coming to town and being evil and taking kids. And of course, trying to play it all serious and evil and creepy. At the end of the first one, I think I had enough experience points to do something. Randomly rolled to look in a well, and my leader went up to look in a well, immediately fell down and knocked himself out for like 3 games. Oh. Just like, dang it.
What I've done to make this even more fun, you know, we had to name our gang and name our player, our characters. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't know, you know, like, and so I went ahead and named them the Durans Gold 89ers. So I have the Oklahoma City 89ers, and Durans Gold is like the team owner or the coach, I can't remember which, of the Dwarf Giants back in the day. from second edition. So then the every faction has kind of like their own book, and they the latest ones they have like 10 random names. If you run one to roll a D10 for a name, you know, if you were having trouble coming up with a fluffy name, mm-hmm. you could come up with a surname and last, you know, first name and all this stuff. So what I've done is I've randomized like a player from the old Dwarf Giant squad, and then I randomize a name, and then I decide like, oh, this sounds better than this, you know, like either I pick the first name of the Dwarf Giant yeah. and then the last name that I randomized or vice versa. And I've been going with that. So in this last thing, this last mission, Ervic Rivalblade, which in Blood Bowl, it was Granite Rivalblade. Ervic Rivalblade was just racking up, knocking people out of the game. He had 10 experience points. He even charged a champion. I gutted the champion, straight up killed the dude. And you roll like on an injury chart, and like 66 is the only natural death. There's other ways to die. I'll get into a second, but I rolled a natural 66, killed this guy. He 250 credits off his list. I mean, so it was like a big deal. He was about to flee the battle because he's like, I only have two guys left. I might as well not stick around. But he's like, I'm gonna shoot one more time. Well, he shot Ervic Rivalblade, super injured him. Like it was like the description was super serious injuries. You have to get him to the doctor. If you cannot get him to a medical attention, he will die. So I got a lot of money. I took him after the mission. There's a whole bunch of actions of going into town and trading and buying things. So I had a guy take him into town. I found a doctor. You roll two D6s times 10 is how much the doctor charges. I rolled a 1 and a 2. So I was really thrilled because it could have been way worse. Only 30 credits for this doctor to look at him. And then you roll another D6 and like a 6, he's healed up. No long-term effects. 2 through 5, there's some long-term effects. And, of course, 1 is he died on the operating table due to complications. And, of course, I rolled the 1. So in storyline, we said that the Cawdor gang, I think, is what I was against. We said that they got to the doctor. And we said, like, this guy's going to be coming to town. If you see him, don't charge a lot and kill that guy because he – And so that's what we played out. We acted like now we got like a little rivalry going. Anyways, we laughed. We had a good time. And anyways, I'm enjoying Necromunda quite a bit so far.
That's good.
So anyways, I won't keep doing that because people will be like, oh, it's supposed to be a Blood Bowl podcast. But I did tie it to Blood Bowl, the Durn's Gold 89ers. And when you come into town, I'm going to show you like this, like, there's like a dwarf in this mech suit thing.
Yeah.
And I had enough money that I went ahead and bought it. I was like, I have the model. I might as well buy it.
Was Darren's Durn's Gold?
Durn's Gold.
What's his full name?
I can't remember.
Darren. But yeah. A little known Blood Bowl fact or podcast fact. He was one of the co-hosts of a side project that we never did because Scott can't stay in character.
No, I can't. Black Belt Sanch and whatever Durin's Gold guy.
We might still do that eventually, but
dude, it's too hard.
Scott just like laughed the whole time. I'm like, just do a dwarf voice. I can't.
It's the owner is Thorn Durin's Gold the Third.
That's right.
So, but it's really cool though. There's this thing called Munda. I'll look up real quick in case you Munda Manager, and you just create a login and it has like everything to create your roster. And you know, like when characters die, you get to take their guns off of them, obviously, and give them to other people if needed and stuff like that. So it's really cool. So
that's cool.
Enjoying it very much so far, but highly recommend to try it with the right group of people. The book is very heavy. I think it's like, feels like 300 pages with like for real like 80 pages of fluff or something like that. So it is limitless for sure. So,
that's cool.
What else Blood Bowl wise?
Don't think I have much. We got Oklahoma this weekend. 2 weeks from now we'll be doing my stupid Bretonians tournament, which
yep.
hoping nobody comes to.
Why?
We just want to get it done. It's using 2016 rules.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, that's your fault.
Oh, I know. Then I don't have really a whole lot until August. Bloodweiser.
Well, if you lived in this area or lived in Texas, you're going to have a bunch of tournaments over the next couple months. So
that's true. Drew is running the Frontline Gaming one in Dallas. The Lone Star Throwdown, August 9th. And the Feast of Flames, August 10th. That's a Dungeon Bowl one.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to bother.
If anyone would like to go, support them.
Oops, my timer just went off.
So I heard.
That's a Dungeon Bowl one?
On the Sundays, it's Dungeon Bowl. Yep.
Ooh, golly. How many rounds is that going to be?
I don't know.
That's so weird.
Didn't look. I mean, I looked, but didn't retain the information.
I got you. No big deal. When was the date again?
August 9th and 10th.
Oh, I was trying to look it up here on the NAF really quick, but I'll have to worry about that here later. 9th and 10th. Oh, it's right there. Lone Star Throwdown and then the Feast of Flames. Ooh, well, I don't know about that. It says three rounds.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, any shout outs, bud, before we head off?
Shout out to Mark Perry. He just had his granddaughter born, which is why he couldn't go to the Atlantic City Open. Who else we got? Did we have anybody else? Oh, Nate Beam wanted credit for coming up with the idea of doing the patches that I talked about from last time.
Mm-hmm.
He is right. He initially had the idea of doing a patch for states and people going to states, and then as far as I knew, that did not materialize. I know that some people had gotten one, but I tried to get some from him and I never could. So I just assumed that they were not being done, and I thought it was done through him and not the NAF. So, and he hasn't been going to tournaments to my knowledge, or at least nothing that I'm close to. So no offense was taken. I didn't mean to come up with like, it's solely my brand new unique idea. No, I mean, people have been doing patches everywhere. But yeah, we'll talk more about that next time, because like I said, doing the first giveaways at Oklahoma Bowl, and then after that, I'll put it up for essentially sale, donation, whatever. I don't care. I gave away to some to people at Atlantic City too, just because, and at, the Colorado one. So
we're going to have some at Oklahoma as well.
Yep. But we'll deal with that more afterwards. Other than that, don't have any shout-outs.
All right.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Oklahoma City Thunder, NBA champions for just a couple more months. So enjoy it, because the NBA season starts for real in like 3 months. So soak it in, Oklahoma. We got it.
Their playoffs last way too long.
Boy, I'm telling you.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Later.
You can follow Both Down on Twitter at Both Down. You can follow Scott at Fat Finley, FatFinley, and Steve at Kilowog2814. If you want to know if your team name is Both Down approved, send a tweet to @BDApproved. If you'd like to email them, the email address is BothDownPodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at BothDown.com or at Facebook.com/BothDown.
Today we celebrate OKC because in every way, this is our time. And there's no more appropriate way to celebrate OKC than with the loudest and biggest OKC chant the world has ever heard. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to bring together in one place all those fans in the arena, all those fans at all the watch parties, and all the fans in all their living rooms? Well, here we all are. Oklahoma City, can I hear you say OKC?
OKC! OKC!
OKC! OKC!